This morning I'm going to be talking about in His image. I want you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. We'll be starting with verse 21. If you miss the discipleship, you really need to sign up for that. It is a powerful teaching. Amen. Praise God. Those have been through it, just been talking about how it just changed their lives and challenged them and helped them to grow. Talk to Steve and Joe Beth. I know it's a commitment. It's a 10-week commitment, but we do a lot of other things that aren't necessary for 10 weeks, okay? Come on. All right. Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one would be blessed in what he does. You know, I've preached this message, and I've heard this message preached for years, and for whatever reason, it always seems to be preached on the negative side. That you look into the Word and you see how lacking you are. You see how short you've come. You look in the Word and you see, you know, the sin in your life. And I've heard that preached all my life, and that's all I've ever thought about of this verse. I don't know why, but it's all I've ever thought, because that's what I've heard preached over and over. Why do we always tend to the negative side? I guess because we realize how inadequate we are. And all of us are inadequate. There's none of us that are adequate. You know, Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, he said, you know, not that I have apprehended or that I have obtained, but he said, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. That's a powerful verse. I've been praying that and looking at that a lot lately. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. How many know that Jesus has laid hold of your life for a purpose? Amen. He didn't just let you in the door and tell you to go sit in the corner. He has a purpose for you. You are welcome. You are brought in. But that we may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid. How many would like to know why Jesus laid hold of your life? Would you really like to know that? Well, you start asking, he'll show you. Things will start happening in your life that you don't think you can do. Isn't it amazing how we want to do what we can do, but we don't want to do what God can do? Takes us out of our comfort zone, doesn't it? If we feel like we have a call from God and it's doable for us, it's not God. It's a good idea. Because God always calls you to that which is beyond you. It's always His work. It's always what He can do. And we have to learn how to just yield and allow Him to do that. But it says that for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But then it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many want to be blessed in what you do? I really don't start out with anything thinking, well, I'm going to do this and fail at it, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, I want to be blessed in it. Amen. When I start a job, I don't want to just do it and think, well, I'm never going to be able to get this done. I want it to be blessed. I want to be completed. Amen. Praise God. How many of you would like to just say, okay, God, I hear your call. I hear your call on my life. And I know it's just going to be a disaster, but I'm just going to do it anyway. That wouldn't be exciting, would it? No, the only way you can do something for God is to see the blessedness, the blessing in what he's talking to you about. The hardships will come. There'll be problems. The hardships will come. But that's not what we look at. He's talking about when we look into a mirror, behold our natural face, and we turn and walk away, we forget what we just saw. That's the illustration. But then he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Brings a whole different image. See, he's not just talking about looking at yourself and saying, well, yeah, I'm lacking at that. Yeah, how many ever look in the mirror and you know, I told somebody one day, I said, man, I got the life scared out of me the other day. I said, I walked by a mirror, saw my reflection and thought an old man had broke in my house. We look in the mirror and we think, wow, you know, that's getting gray. Or, boy, I don't look the same. And, whoa, look at all those wrinkles. You see your natural self. And then you put your glasses on and it gets really bad. I have found out that after 50, if you're going to trim things up, if you're going to try to get yourself looking good, you have to put your glasses on. The way I found that out is I had my glasses on one day when I looked in the mirror and I went, I had an inch long hair sticking out of my face right on my cheekbone right here. Everybody else that had good eyesight had been seeing that. I had not. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you behold your natural face. James was using that as an illustration. He was not trying to get you stuck in that. That was an illustration trying to get you on to the next statement that says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. That's a whole different mirror. Of course, we know that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word teaches us that. In the beginning, Adam and Eve was created in the likeness, in his image and in his likeness. And then when they sinned, they lost the likeness of God. God no longer recognized them. Matter of fact, he walked in the garden saying, Where'd you go? He couldn't see himself in Adam and Eve anymore. The reflection was gone. He used to be able to look at Adam and Eve and see the reflection of his likeness. But now all of a sudden there's no reflection. He's saying, where'd you go? And they were hiding. They said, we're hiding. You know the story. And they lost the likeness of God. It disappeared. And we have lived under the old law of sin and death. In the old temple, when you were in the outer courts, all you could see was the altar of sacrifice. You saw the place where your sins had to be atoned. You saw the place of sacrifice. And so that's all you can see. When you first come to God, that is all you can see, is the fact that there has to be a sacrifice for my sin. I am a sinner in need of salvation, of need of redemption. And that's all you can see. But once you offer the sacrifice and get past the altar of sacrifice, all of a sudden the image begins to change, because past the altar of sacrifice, you begin to see who he is. You begin to see the labor. And again, the labor, I've always heard this taught, that the labor was brass and it had water in it. And when you look in it, you saw your image. And it was always negative. You know, just how unworthy we are. No, the lavers where the priests washed their hands after offering the sacrifice. So when you looked into the laver, you didn't see anything but the blood of Jesus. It's not you. Now, on this side of the sacrifice, on this side of the altar, you no longer see you. You see what he did. You see the sacrifice. And then you see the door. I am the door. If any man enter in through me, he will find salvation. And we see the door of the temple, of the holy place. And inside we have the golden lampstand that illustrates he is the light of the world. We have the bread of life. On the other side we have the altar of incense. And after you pass the altar, you no longer see your sin. You start seeing Jesus. Okay? I think it's time we get an image makeover. Yeah. In his image. You ever seen that little, there's a movie, what is that? Princess Diaries? It's a Disney thing, you know, silly little movie. Some of y'all probably seen that. And this girl, you know, she doesn't look, you know, like a model or anything. She got frizzy hair and all, and they did it on purpose. And all of a sudden they did this makeover thing and totally changed her, and she couldn't believe it. That's the way it is. When you come to Jesus, you are one thing, but once you pass the altar, you take on a whole different image. You get a makeover. Come on, somebody. Something changes in you. And so when we see the sin, when we see the unworthiness, if that's all you see when you read the Word of God, you're not seeing who He is. You're only seeing you. You don't read the Word to see you. You don't pray to see you. You pray to see Jesus. Whatever you look at is what you are. So if all you do is look at yourself, that's what you're going to be. But if you spend time looking at Jesus, that's what you're going to become. We spend too much time looking at ourselves in the Word of God when we need to look in the Word of God and see who Jesus is and let Him transform us into His image. When Jesus came and died on the cross, He didn't come just to give you a little hope. He came to change you. He came to adopt you. He came to bring you back into the image of God. Woo, I'm going to have to pace myself. I am going to walk on air here in a minute. See, for he observes himself. When he looks in the mirror, he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, when we look into the Word of God and we see Jesus and we turn around and go back to looking at the world and seeing ourselves the way we was, we're not going to get anything done. We're not going to accomplish anything. We're not going to be able to present Jesus to the world. Why? Because we just forgot what he was. We forgot his image. We forgot his likeness. How are we going to present something that we haven't become? You got to own this thing. Amen. Greatest salesmen in the world are those that own the product. They take ownership of it. You gotta take ownership of what God has done for you. Not just have this thought that, well, God saved me and one of these days I'm gonna go to heaven. Thank God we're gonna go to heaven. I'm ready. I'm tired. You know, I just want to get a whole lot more done before Jesus comes. All my life I've heard people talking about going to heaven. You know, when I was growing up in the church, that was it. You preached about heaven. You talked about heaven. You talked about the rapture. We're going to go to heaven. Stay prayed up, ready to go up, and all that kind of stuff. And then I got in the ministry and began to realize what all needed to be done. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't hardly think about going to heaven because there was too many people going to hell. There was too much wasn't done. And so I got to where I don't really even think about it anymore. I think about who Jesus is, how we can present him now. And whenever it comes time for me to go to heaven, I'll go to heaven. I'm kind of like Brother Dale Friend. He said, I hear people sing about heaven and going to heaven and how awesome it's going to be to go to heaven. But he said every time they get sick, they go to the doctor and get a bottle of Stay Here. He said, I don't think they want to go to heaven. Oh, Lord, all I want to do is come to heaven. No, you don't. It'll happen one of these days. But we gotta start presenting who Jesus is. Amen. Heaven is coming. Thank God. But there's a whole lot more needs to be done before we go to heaven. Amen. I just gotta tell you, the rapture of the church is not a how can I put this? It's not a rescue mission. That's what people believe it is. Oh, Jesus come and rescue us out. Oh, he didn't come and rescue the Christians in China. It's not a rescue mission. It's a marriage ceremony. He's coming back after a glorious church. That spot. Hey, if you want Jesus come back, let's get some glorious going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's not coming back for a miserable, beat up, moping around bunch of people that lost their faith. He's coming back after a glorious church that's shouting the victory and reflecting his image. Woo! My goodness. Hey, I've been wanting to preach this all week, so come on. I've been sitting on this for days. He observes himself in the glass and turns around and forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. After you quit looking, you continue to be it. That person's going to be blessed. When I look into the mirror of the Word of God, there's some things I see. And it changes our image. You've got to start looking into the image. Have you ever seen, I've seen that picture on Facebook, people put a picture, and I tried to find it, I couldn't find it. I was going to have it for this morning. It wouldn't have worked because the email's not working anyway. But there's this little kitten sitting in front of a mirror, and in the reflection of the mirror, there's a big, big, huge lion. Well, that's what needs to happen to us. We need to quit seeing our inefficiencies and our inabilities, and we need to remember that that's not who we are. We are in Christ. When I look into the mirror of the Word of God, I start seeing some different things. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, it says, "Given thanks to the Father who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light." In Ephesians chapter 2, or let me back up. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace." So when I look in the law, perfect law of liberty, all of a sudden I begin to see that I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. I have redemption through his blood. Amen. I'm not a sinner trying to get in to God. I have been redeemed by his glory. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord because he has forgiven all of our iniquities." Praise God. So we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. "And you he made alive who are dead in trespass and sin." So I have redemption through the blood of Jesus. I've been made alive even though I was dead in trespass and sin. Now I've been made alive in his presence. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 through 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." Oh, when I look in the Word of God, I begin to realize, man, there ain't nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Oh, come on. His love is beyond understanding. I can't understand it. I tell him that all the time. God, I don't understand your love. Now, if you think you understand God's love, then you don't know yourself. You got to look at the Word of God and say, wow, you love me beyond anything that I could even imagine. Amen. Praise God. Your wife or husband loves you, but every once in a while they'd like to shoot you. You know how I know that? I've done years of marriage counseling. I know these things. But God never has those thoughts toward you. Isn't that amazing? He never has those thoughts toward you. He only sees the sacrifice he paid for you. So he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I look into the perfect law of liberty, all of a sudden I realize that I no longer stand as a sinner on the earth, but now I've been redeemed by his blood, I've been made alive by his spirit, and I've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I look in the mirror, I see myself seated with Jesus. I don't see all my faults and failures. I see myself seated with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. And then he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers. He has qualified us. I'm not only sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but now I have been qualified to be a partaker. I'm not just an observer, I am a partaker of his inheritance. The inheritance of his son, the love of his son. Praise God. I'll get that out in just a minute. I am a partaker of his inheritance. Man, I need more words to try to illustrate this. If I speak in tongues, y'all just interpret, okay? The Holy Spirit will help us here. When we look into this, we realize that I have been qualified. I don't have to try to get qualified. He has qualified me. When I come before the Father, I have been pre-qualified to walk into his presence, and I can come into his presence. I am redeemed by his blood. I've been made alive by his spirit. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm accepted because I'm qualified by Jesus. I am a partaker. How many of us children of God sit back and think, oh man, I wish that was in my life. Start looking into the mirror of God's word. You are a partaker. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I could, the images in my mind, I wish I could put them on the screen. Because the transformations that God is wanting to do in our lives. And then he said, not only has he made qualified as to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, but he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Next time the devil starts tempting you about something, just stop and say, God, I thank you that I have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. And I have been transferred in to the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. Romans tells us that sin shall not have dominion over you. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. In other words, the devil no longer has authority over my life, because I'm no longer a resident of his kingdom. I have a passport into the presence of God. Amen. When I come back into this country from being out of overseas, I come back and I walk through and I give them my passport and they check it out. They pull it up on the computer and they see that, yes, I am a resident of the United States of America. When I go into the presence of God, I got a passport. I got a legal document that says I belong. I am now a resident of the kingdom of the Son of his love. I'm no longer a resident of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am been transferred. I've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And then it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So now I find out that not only am I redeemed by His blood, not only have I been made alive from death, the death of trespasses, not only have I been put in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and I'm a partaker of His inheritance, now I find out that He's went a step further than that, and He adopted me. Come on. I'm not in child services anymore. I am adopted. Oh, y'all ought to be dancing on the backs of the pews right now. If you really understand what we're talking about, you have been adopted into the family. You're not just part of the kingdom now. See, we was part of the kingdom. That was awesome. We was able to enjoy the kingdom of the Son of His love. But He went a step further, and now we're not just occupants of the kingdom. We are occupants of the house. Woo! We're occupants of the house. See, you can be a resident of the kingdom and stand outside and wish you could go in and eat at the table of the Father, but now you've been adopted into the presence and you got a chair at the table of the Father and you have right to go in there and you can just go into the house, sit down at the table, and feed at the table of God. Hallelujah. And you can eat all you want. This is all you can eat buffet and it won't make you fat. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You can eat all the steaks you want. The meat of the Word of God. And it won't clog up your arteries. It'll just make you strong. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have a seat. See, it makes a difference in what mirror you're looking in. If you're looking in the mirror of the natural man, then all you see is your inabilities and your lacking. But when you look into the mirror of the perfect law of liberty, all you see is His majesty, His abilities, His power. And all of a sudden you back up and you start saying, hey, I think we can do this. Why? Because it's no longer me that I'm representing. Now it's a power greater than me that I'm representing. And God's able to do this. God's able to do this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So not only have we been adopted into the family, but we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Are you getting what it's saying here? See, now we're not just an adopted child that don't resemble the family. Now we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not only are we adopted into the family, now we're starting to look like the family. Everybody's starting to say, oh, you look like your daddy. Come on, somebody. And not too long ago, you didn't even have any connection. But now we're saying, you look like your daddy. Amen. It's kind of like Tony and Brett. They're two little girls. Aren't even related, but when they walked in here, I thought they were twins. Why? Because they resemble. They resemble each other. That's the way we are. Now we're starting to take on the likeness. We've been adopted into the family of God, and now we are His workmanship. He's creating in us Christ Jesus. Oh, now when we look in the mirror, we're not just seeing that He is awesome. We're beginning to see that He is awesome in me. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all think, oh, that's too egotistical. That's why we can't get anything done. We think, Jesus, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be like his father. To say I'm associated with. Oh, you're tensing up on me. How are we ever going to be blessed? How are we ever going to get anything done if we can't come to the place where we begin to realize that he is awesome and now he's awesome in me. His power is now, I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's what discipleship's all about. That's why you learn the Word of God. That's why you continue to grow, because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, so that we become more and more like him, and God begins to see his reflection when he looks at us. Not only that, people begin to see his reflection when they look at us. Have you ever had somebody look at you and say, you know, you're different? I get that all the time, but I'll never forget when I went to work out in Oklahoma in the oil fields. You know, they call it oil field trash. There's a reason they call it that. And I went to work out there, and after I worked there a little while, this guy came up to me, one of the supervisors came up to me, and he said, I've been watching you. I said, really? You never know what's going to, you know, what kind of problems you got, you know. But he said, I've been watching you. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you're different. I said, I've been told that a lot. He said, no. He said, you're different. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't talk like everybody else. He said, you don't act like everybody else. He said, there's something different about you. You're talking about swinging a door wide open. I said, really? I said, well, let me tell you what that different part is. And I started telling him about Jesus and how Jesus had changed my life and saved me and changed my life. And I got the opportunity to stand there and share the power of salvation with this man and what it is that made me different. It wasn't me. It was who lived it. I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. My conversations wasn't like the rest of the people. My actions wasn't like the rest of the people. Why? Because I had a passport to a different place. I was a citizen of heaven living on earth. We gotta realize who we are. And now we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God is creating the image that we lost in the garden. He's creating it, recreating it in us now. Where he doesn't have to walk around saying, where'd you go? Where'd you go? No, he knows us. He resembles us. He says, oh, hey, you got my nose. Boy, y'all fell flat on that one. You ever had somebody come up to you and say that? You know, you got your daddy's nose. You got your daddy's eyes. You know, stuff like that. My dad told me here a while back, my great-grandpa, Andy, he said, you know, you look just like him. I never knew him. And then I looked at a picture, and the only picture I got is when he was really old. And I looked at that picture, and I said, Lord, help me. That's where I'm going. See, now we resemble the family that we belong to. The reason is because in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he is the image, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So if Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and we are his workmanship being created in Christ Jesus, then what is God? What kind of image is God creating in us? This isn't a test. Come on. What kind of image is God creating in us? His image. If Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Come on now. I'm not getting weird. This isn't an egotistical little God kind of thing. We are in him. And when we accept this, is when things are going to start happening in our life. As long as you feel like an outsider trying to do God's work, you're never going to be able to do it. You got to accept the fact that you're part of the family. You're in. You got His name. Amen. You got His name. I had a banker tell me yesterday, he said, you know, he said, I got a phone call here a while back, and he said, at first, I wanted to say, nah. He said, it was one of the Waltons from Walmart. And he said, he told me what his name is, and he said, my first reaction was, no, it ain't. But it was. And see, when he said his name, he recognized the family he was from. And he knew that he had access to what the family had. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Praise God. I've got a new name written down in glory. God knows it. Amen. I have a new last name. I don't know what it is. I guess it's Tim Jehovah. I don't know. I have no idea. But I have his last name. We all freeze up when I talk like that. See how backward we are? We're just scared to death to associate ourselves with God, when that's exactly what He did. He broke down the middle wall of petition. When we were alienated from Him without God, but Jesus broke down the wall of petition, and now He's brought us into Him, into His family, and now we are associated with Him, and then we are in Him, and He is the image of the invisible God, and we are His workmanship being created in Christ Jesus. What is it God's up to? He's trying to put His reflection on you. Oh, hallelujah. It's good. Y'all acting just like them Africans when I try to teach them this. It's hard for them to get it. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Wow. He is the image of the invisible God. And in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. Now, a lot of you keep going back and looking in that natural mirror. Every time I say something like this, you keep going back and looking at that natural mirror and saying, oh, no, I'm not there. I'm just not there. That's just not me. The Word says it is. Flip that mirror over. On the other side is the mirror of God. And we all of a sudden flip it over and we don't see that we're not there anymore. All of a sudden we see that we are there. Why? Because it's not your works, it's not what you've done. You have been adopted in. You've been grafted in. You have been supernaturally imposed into the presence of God. So quit looking in the natural mirror and saying, oh, I just got so far to go. You're denying what God says. I know you got faults. I got faults. I know we come short every day. But that's only because we're not letting Him create Himself in us and not letting Him work through us. When we let Him work through us, we don't have a long way to go. All of a sudden, we're there. Oh, come on. Jesus knows. You can really experience something like this when you're put in a position to experience it. If you're never put in a position to experience it, it's not going to happen. You can go to college and learn all about a job, but until you go and start trying to do that job, you don't know what it is. You don't know how to do it. You got head knowledge, but you don't have practical knowledge. You don't know how to apply it. Amen. Praise God. You don't know how to apply it. When Rochelle got out of nursing school, she had a lot of knowledge. But she had to practice on you folks to learn it. Isn't that right, sis? Come on. She had to practice that knowledge in order to become a nurse. The same way we are. There's times on this last trip, we were in church 8 to 10 hours every day. I want you to stop and think about that. Some of y'all get fidgety after I preach for 30 minutes. Wondering if we're going to be out by noon. Well, over there, the first service, every day, the first service didn't end till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we started at 9. I don't understand the language. I don't understand their culture. So for all those hours, I just kind of stand back and try to clap, you know. I got this one video that I laugh at every time I look at it. I was going to show it, but I deleted it. I got to find it. But all these Africans, I mean, they're getting with it. They got the moves. They're dancing, you know. And I love it. I love to watch it. I love the way they enjoy God. One of the guys got my iPad and was filming for me, and he pans around to where I'm sitting. You know, here's everybody just really getting with it, dancing and everything, and he pans around to me, and I'm sitting over there going. I was going to put that on Facebook and say, white boy ain't got no moves. But for hours, I would sit there, and most of the time in misery. You get miserable. They don't have padded pews there. Most of the chairs we sit on had little boards. Those boards got really uncomfortable. And I would be there for hours. They're enjoying themselves. They're having a great time. But I'm having a hard time participating. You know what I'm talking about? So a lot of times I would get miserable. I would get tired. I'd be hurting. You know, it's like in your heart you're thinking, okay, let's do this. Come on. I know none of you would do that, but I did. And then all of a sudden, Augustine, in his normal impulsive way, he plays the keyboard for him all the time. Taught himself how to play the keyboard. Doesn't sound anything like what our keyboard sounds like. And I watched the notes he was playing, and I thought, wow, you know, I've never seen anybody play that on our keyboard. But they have their own music, and he's up there playing. And then all of a sudden, he just quits playing, turns around and says, let's preach. I've been sitting there for 3 hours in misery. And all of a sudden, you're on, buddy. Woo! But you got to understand who Jesus is. You got to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all of a sudden, I'm not miserable anymore. All of a sudden, I don't care about how long we've been there. Because now I start opening the Word of God, begin to preach, and there's life, and there's power, and there's strength. And at that moment, there's nowhere else I want to be. Why? Because there's a difference in the image we look at and the image Jesus looks at. And you got to start looking at this other image. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. We got to get the real image in our hearts. And we are complete in Him. We are complete in Him. We need to quit seeing the negative. This is the first time I've ever heard this message preached, and I preached it, where it wasn't about how lacking we are when we look in the mirror. The Holy Spirit turned this thing completely around for me last Sunday. I've been sitting on this all week. Last Sunday, He turned this thing completely around for me, and He said, you're looking in the wrong mirror. You need to start looking in my mirror. Because in my mirror is my image. When you start looking in that image, all of a sudden all things are possible to him that believes. When you start looking in that image, all of a sudden I am healed by his stripes. When you start looking at that image, I've been set free. I've been delivered. I mean, it's totally different from I look in one image and I look in the other image. It's totally different. And I think I'm going to start looking in this image over here. Because there's a whole lot, it's a whole lot better. Amen. You ever seen them before and after pictures? You know, people do before and after pictures. They remodel a house, whatever. This is what it looked like before, and then you do it after. Or when Brett builds a car, you know, he likes to put pictures on there, the before, all rusty and everything, and then the after, you know, and it makes drool come outside of your mouth when you're looking at it. And you're thinking, wow, that is nice. That's a before and after. See, that's the two different images. We see ourselves as the wreck. Jesus sees us as the finished product. And if we don't start looking at the finished product, we're always going to be the wreck. Because whatever you look at is what you become. Stand with me today. Come on. Come on, worship team. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to cut it short. I know I've only preached 15 minutes, so. Hallelujah. In His image. Everybody say this with me. In His image. It's His image, not your image. It's His image. Today God wants to transform you, and that transformation doesn't have to take a long time. It just all depends on what you look at. Praise God. All depends on what you want to become. You know, if you sit yourself on something, it's going to happen. You know, I've realized for years that what people want to do, they will do. Amen. No matter the price, if people want it, they'll do it. Amen. They'll pay any price to get what they want. So if we want the image of God in our lives bad enough, all we have to do is start focusing on that. Focusing on where we're going. Start looking in the Word of God. It finally came. See, there's the tanks. They wasn't there when we were there, in Africa. There wasn't any water. But we looked into the perfect law of liberty, and God had tanks. Praise God. So there they are. By the way, that is a beautiful church. We even have tinted windows. Not just glass, we have tinted windows. Whenever we look at God, if all you see is how lacking you are, you're still in the outer court looking at the altar. Sure, we need His forgiveness every day. Every day of my life, I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Every day. There's a popular teaching going around that you no longer have to ask forgiveness anymore. What? How stupid. How stupid. I don't ask forgiveness because I feel like God requires. I ask forgiveness because I honor Him. And I know that I need Him. And so I repent every day of my life. I start my morning with, God, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your love. I thank You, God, that Your mercy is everlasting. And Lord, I receive Your love and Your mercy. Just ask You to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my human nature. Lord God, and just fill me with Your presence. Fill me with Your Spirit. Why? Because that's the image I want to walk in all day. So I got to change my mind. I got to change what I'm looking at. So if you have the attitude you don't have to repent anymore, that's not right. You should repent just simply because you know He's awesome. And you want to be fully pleasing to Him. Because believe me, you're going to mess up something every day. If it's not something you do, it's something you didn't do, you should have done. So just plead guilty and get on with it. Amen. But God wants to transform us today. He wants to change us into His image. And all we have to do is just start looking at the right place. How many of you want God to be able to do something through your life? You want to touch somebody's life. You want to do something. Well, it's not going to be because of you. It's going to be because of His image and His Spirit and His power. Hallelujah. That's who it is.